But today's scripture that we are going to read all together is Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 to 5. Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 to 5. And we can read all together with one unison. Ready? Let's go. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is word of God for the people of God. For today, we have special speakers for today, and I want to introduce our district superintendent, Reverend Dr. Sarah Calvert. She's coming here to share the message of God with us in our 125th anniversary. Please welcome up with a big hand.
Over 100. That's all I'm saying. Look at the life and the vibrancy of a 125-year-old church. This speaks to God's plan for you all in 1894. Can you say 1894 with me? 1894. That is an astoundingly long time ago. I did discover that was also the same year that Coca-Cola was first bottled. Good company, right? And then Milton Hershey opened his chocolate factory in Pennsylvania. So you are as old as Coca-Cola and chocolate. Two very beautiful things in my mind. And you, beloveds, are very beautiful today, as you were back then in 1894 as well. 53 people or so got together. They were mostly farmers in this area with large farms. There was no other church nearby. You came out of, I think, Arcola, right? Is that came out of Arcola, and that was a sponsoring church to help you get started. You were part of an 8-point charge. So this is back in the circuit days when a Methodist preacher would get on a horse and ride to one or two of the churches at a time. And in between those weeks when the preacher wasn't here, the lay people ran the whole place. Can you imagine? This is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. There are far more lay people than there are Methodist elders back in the day, and the same is true today. The same is very true. So you have seen incredible changes. Imagine if you were 125 years old. What would you have seen change? What would you have seen? I mean, this farming, very tiny rural farming community linked to churches like Florist, back before it was Florist, and Arcola, and even up to Sterling. I mean, linked to a large area, but all on horseback without the roads that you see all around us. I saw in the history that was done for the 100th anniversary that they talked about how transportation, namely roads, have changed this entire area. How many people grew up in this area, were born and raised? Look, so this is Northern Virginia for you. Not too many of you were born and raised in this very area. It has changed so dramatically. Think about what kinds of things happened. Buildings were built. Places were rearranged. Worship times were changed. I know, I'm just putting that out there. Worship times were changed. Music changed. The color of the carpet changed. This church has seen lots of change in 125 years. This means that this church has been flexible. This church has been faithful. And we come today to celebrate all that took to get to 125 years. Now, we are mostly Americans and people who are in the American culture. And that means that very often we like to say to ourselves, look what we did. Look what we did to get here. The things that you had to do to get to this day. The things that you had to do to get to your place in life, your career, your retirement, your children, the things that you had to do, the changes you had to undergo to get to where you are today. We are very proud of the things that we have done to get where we are. But this is church. And we come in to church celebrating what God has done. Because whether we remember it or not, this is a perfect day to give thanks. This is a perfect day to remind ourselves that that idea for a church was not Arcola's idea, it was God's idea. That calling on the hearts of those farmers back then. Do we have any farmers left? Anybody still a farmer in there? Yeah. Oh, we got a farmer. Hey, yeah. Carrying on a tradition. So, and I'll bet farming has changed a bit in 125 years too. Yeah, you think so? So in the midst of this, God called on those farmers' hearts. God blessed them, salt of the earth, and said, you need space. You need a place to come. And remember whose you are. And that space and that place was made at Pleasant Valley United Methodist Church. It wasn't United Methodist Church back then. It was part of the third wave of the Great Awakening. Anybody ever heard of the Great Awakening? This was a time of great revival in the area, and Methodist churches were growing by leaps and bounds. This goes from just after the Civil War into the early 1900s, this Great Awakening where revival was bringing people into the churches. Today we look around and we are not in revival, are we? We are in a more and more secularized society. People are generations removed from knowing that good things happen in church, from believing and faithfulness to the Lord their God in a Sunday morning worship service, in a Wednesday Bible study, in a choir practice. If there are good things that happen in a service project, in a mission trip, in ministry to the community around, people do not know 125 years later. The results of that revival are sitting in a world that does not understand. Do you think the scripture has anything to say to that? This psalm that we took a look at, can we put that psalm back up? Is that possible? This psalm that we are looking at is a psalm that reminds everyone who is king. Because king in those days, king was everything. We don't think of king as much of anything today. We don't have too many kings left around. But Lord is another word of looking at it. This is called an enthronement hymn. It reminds us who is in the place of honor in the worship and in the life of a community. This is a psalm to celebrate during the Feast of Booths, which would have happened around this time. As a matter of fact, it was a couple weeks ago in the Jewish calendar. And in that time, they actually go out and live, the more traditional Jewish people go out and live in a booth. And in that booth, they remember packing up and putting together a home for themselves every night as they followed the cloud of the Spirit of the Lord through the Sinai. This is after they've been released from Egypt as slaves and before they enter the promised land that they have been promised. Those people wandered the desert, putting up a tent or a booth and then taking it back down for 40 years, for an entire generation. They wandered the Sinai because they could not faithfully believe in what the Lord had done for them. Into the promised land, they were promised, but they could not believe it. This psalm celebrates that they finally came to understand that. That they learned to be faithful. They learned to be not just Egyptian slaves, slaves to the culture and society that held the entire economy for that part of the world, but they became people of God. They became a people who could faithfully believe that God was taking them to a promised land. That's a lot of trust. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of what God is trying to teach them from generation to generation to generation. And we inherit that today. Look at some of these verbs in here. To make a joyful noise. Anybody hear a joyful noise here this morning? I heard a joyful noise here this morning. Beautiful music. Worshiping the Lord, coming together as a group. Worshiping not to make this church, but to make this the ritual that reminds us each and every week whose we are, because we go back out into a world that does not know the Lord. So for coming together, for being here, that is why we come and worship. That is why they came to worship, to remember the time when they wandered in the desert and couldn't believe, and now they could believe. Now they have a temple. Come into his presence. You know, these days, most average worshipers come to worship 1 to 2 times a month. Is that enough Jesus for you? It's a drought. It isn't enough. And sometimes we forget that we should be in the presence of the Lord, not just here in worship, but throughout the week. Our lives are worship. Our lives are worship. But we remember it when we come together, when you see the faces of the people here, when you see the homecoming people who have come home to visit with us today, you remember worshiping with gladness and singing. Know that the Lord is God. This is the crux of this hymn that would have been sung in the temple probably. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the King of everything, the Lord of everything is God, and it isn't us. We've done a lot of things through God. We've done a lot of things with God, but we aren't God. And we forget that in a world that enshrines many other idols in its place. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sheep don't get a very good rep, do they? You know, sheep get a rep of just blindly following, but sheep are very smart. Sheep run away. Sheep get in trouble. Sheep get out of hand. Some of you may be the black sheep in your family. I'm not going to ask for hands. I'll ask him to keep them down. But God is with us anyway. God is calling us back, not to aloneness, but to community. That is how the flock grows. That is how they survive. That is how they grow strong in the arms of the shepherd. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving's coming. I know we got to get to Halloween, and some of you have already put your Christmas decorations up. But don't forget Thanksgiving. It is one of the most wonderfully secular and holy days of the year. To remember to give thanks. To remember to say, I didn't do this on my own. I give thanks for the gifts God has used through me. I give thanks for the ways in which God has used me in this world. I give thanks for the way my hands, my feet, my head and my heart have been sent out into the community that surrounds here, because 125 years ago, God called some people to start this. And that continues today. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love, that word, steadfast love endures forever. Hesed is the word in Hebrew. Steadfast love, love that does not end. It is not the kind of love that you and I necessarily can pull off in the world that we have today. Steadfast love endures forever. It was there before we were created. It was there before those 50-odd people, or not, I don't mean to call them odd, but 50-plus people came into this community. It was there when they were called to build something new and to surround the community here with love. It was an outpouring of God's chesed, God's steadfast love, that has kept everything together for 125 years. Through the good times and the bad times, through the peaks and the valleys, it is chesed, it is steadfast love of God, a love we can find nowhere else, a love that is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. His faithfulness to all generations. All generations. Look around you. We have the little ones. We have the young adults. We have people of all ages here. And again, I'm not going to do the raise your hand yet. Okay, we'll leave that for another day. You could take a demographic study later on. But think about the generations that have passed through here. This is what this celebrates. Generations had to pass before they could move from those times in the Sinai into the times in the land of promise. Generations pass with you here in this community. God is faithful to this generation as God was faithful to all of those generations till now. Faithful to calling you here in whatever ways you've been called. Faithful to belonging. I saw that in your phrase. Faithful to belonging. Faithful to the prayers of the people 125 years ago that prayed you into this spot today. Think about those people that prayed you into this spot today. Generations. Generations who have taught you. Sometimes they were relatives, sometimes they were friends. Sometimes someone said, just come with me. The prayers that brought you to this very place today. Remember those prayers and your thanksgiving. The presence of people to keep this community, this particular form of the body of Christ, moving throughout the land, moving throughout this community. Presence is everything. Without visible presence of Christ, no one will ever be called. No one will ever be seen as a beloved of God. People will be lost because they do not know that, like you, they too are beloved of God. Your presence means just holding a hand or making a visit or sending a card or a telephone call, bringing a meal, showing up for a funeral for somebody nobody else knows. You do not know when your presence will be the presence that is needed for the next generation to know. So while you are praying for the next generation and you are being present so the next generation can know you, your gifts are vitally important. I was raised in the church, and when I went through Disciple Bible, anybody do Disciple Bible back in the day? Yeah, back in the old days. In Disciple Bible, I was a very, I'll just say, arrogant attorney in Fairfax, and I'll be honest. I was sitting in a class thinking I was going to learn about the Bible, and turns out the class was about me. Very scary thing. When you look in the Bible, you see yourself, don't you? And in the midst of that, somebody had the nerve to say to me that the gifts I had were not things I had done, but God had given them to me. And for a purpose, not just for me to make money and just for me and my family to succeed, but the gifts I had were for a purpose. The gifts I had were for a purpose to be part of a community. The gifts I had were to be sent out into the world to have other people know. The gifts I had that were financial gifts were to be shared in the community. So while you are praying for the next generation in your prayers, while you are being present to them in all the ways that Christ calls you to be present, use your gifts that God has given you. A homecoming is not a time to come and be a pew potato. It is a time to remember the gifts that God has already given you. It is a time to remember that God has given you gifts for a purpose. And that is to be part of a community that is a shining light to the community that surrounds you, to people that do not yet know Christ. So while you are praying for the next generation, and while you are being present, and while you are sharing your gift, we need to be in service. This is how people overcome a secular world that does not believe anything good can come of people who gather on a Sunday morning. I mean, let's be honest, where else do we come and stand and sing except in a karaoke bar? I mean, that is the only other place that the things we do that look weird, right? So we have to be in service to others so they can see we're not the weird ones. We're not the crazy people who believe in something that's not real. We are not the people who checked our brilliant minds at the door in order to come into church. No, we are the kind of people who are in service to the world because God loved us so much, it pours out of our hearts and our minds, our hands and our feet, and we can do nothing but be in service to others. This is what we offer the next generation that does not yet know us, the next 125 years. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, right? How many of you know in the membership vows, we have that one that got added a couple years ago, our witness. Sometimes we can do service so well and so silently that nobody knows it was in the name of Christ. And sometimes that's appropriate. And sometimes we can speak. Sometimes we can say, look, when I am part of a community that comes together to worship together, to make a joyful noise, to be part of a community, to be led by the shepherd, when you can testify as to who Jesus is in your world, you testify to the next generation. You tell the world, not just the people that surround this church, but you tell the world that God is still at work, that there are still miracles, that there are still people whose lives are touched and changed. Lord made a lawyer in Fairfax into a district superintendent. How that happened, I have no idea. I cannot honestly tell you. But if God can do that, God can be a witness to you. God can send you with your story, your piece of the story, your piece of the next 125 years. Do not let the work of those people 125 years ago not continue into the future. This is the calling of a homecoming at 125 years, a calling to you who have inherited generations later and you who are sent out to the next generations. May you ever be faithful. May you ever give thanks. May you ever be the kind of people who can say, amen, Lord, send me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the incredible works of this church, both in the past and in the very moment, in this very